Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Gave the parable of the sower and said, "How will we understand all other parables unless we grasp this particular parable?" What is the parable of the sower about? We're going to explore that today on Abounding Grace Radio. And what we're going to see is this is a picture of the earthly preaching of the gospel. Jesus is explaining why more people don't respond to it as they should. This is going to be a very helpful passage today as we look at response to Jesus, response in the world to Jesus, to his message, to his gospel, and of course, those who receive and embrace it by faith. Jesus encourages us in this teaching of the parable of the sower. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Find us on Facebook. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Visit us again on that website. We would love to hear from you at agradio.org. Do please write to us. And if Abounding Grace Radio is a blessing to you, please keep in mind that in your support, all of your support, 100%, goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to major population bases in the United States, Canada, and now Africa. So what a wonderful blessing and door that the Lord has opened through Abounding Grace Radio for his gospel. Here today is the program, which I have titled People Without Listening, from Mark chapter 4 in the parable of the sower. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
What criteria do you use to judge and hear and listen to the ministry of the Word? The ministry of the Word. That's our calling, preach the Word in season, out of season. That's my mission statement as a pastor. That's what I'm called to do. We are certainly called to be discerning about what is being preached to us. No one doubts that. The Lord constantly calls us to discernment, whether it is faithful to the intention of the Holy Spirit when it is proclaimed, and whether it is, as Paul said, preaching Christ and Him crucified. But as I have heard sermon critiques over the years, and I've listened to them, most Christians would be surprised as to how unbiblical their critique really is. Many Christians listen to a pastor and are fixated on how they feel when they walk out of the message. That seems to be the thing that dominates coming to church today. So it really does come down to the ability of the pastor, as he's communicating the message in a way that is effective to my emotions. That's how people think today when they listen to preaching. We generally sit as sort of judges and jury and everything right over the sermon. I've had all sorts of responses to preaching in the course of my time in the ministry. I've heard everything under the sun. "Well, today the message just didn't really speak to me. I didn't feel very encouraged. There wasn't enough balance of gospel in that one. I feel really guilty about myself in that one. Boy, he was kind of rough today. Or, man, that was great. I get that one. It's like the old Spurgeon line is the handshake out the door when someone walked up to him and said, "What an amazing sermon, Mr. Spurgeon." He said, "Yeah, I know, the devil already told me." We generally sit as sort of the jury and judge to determine what makes for an effective message and if it spoke to me or the pastor, did he fit the model of what I'm used to today, or did he miss a word, which I miss all the time? Did he miss a word? Is he proper? And people get up, people come, people go. What happened? What happened? It's fascinating to me how Jesus dealt with this problem. Fascinating. Why do I say that? Because we just went through last week in Mark, and this is all very purposeful in his book. We just went through a series of responses to his ministry. Predominantly his preaching and teaching ministry. The Son of God was a preacher, let me tell you, and he was greatly criticized. Last week, things were said of Jesus were just awful. I mean, really, really, they were terrible to study. Mark presented to us a series of responses to him. Remember last week, his own family looked at his ministry, and they had come to the determination, "You're insane." And they said it. He's out of his mind. So from his own family members, he had the designation that he was a madman. And they had to kind of try to reel him back in a little bit, to lock him back up. That was the scene there. Then came the response of the religious leaders, remember, where they went further. They went well beyond that, and they said, "He's got a demon. In fact, he's of another spirit." That was the way to put out all this popularity. That was the way to put out all of this response to Jesus' ministry. If we can associate it with the work of Satan, and we could say that what he's doing is of Satan, we can put this nonsense out. That was a response. And you remember last week that Jesus really did draw the line there and said, "Listen, I will forgive every sin. I will forgive every sin and blasphemy against me, but that one I will not. You're right up on it. You better watch your mouth." That was the effect of that. That's enough. But we know by Mark's exposure of the responses that something's not clicking. Something's not going real well. And Mark has captured these last responses for us to show us that even his own family, now think about it, this is Mary and this is his brothers. They will come to believe, but at this point they don't. And that should have some kind of effect on us. There are people who come to us today who may not believe, but tomorrow they will. How do you deal with that? How do you understand that? What do we understand by this? And the question that comes out in this text, and I'm thinking of the disciples here because they are disciples in training. They're about to be sent out to the ends of the earth to do this preaching ministry. What is Jesus teaching them? It's at this moment he is really focused on helping them understand something they need to understand about the ministry. And the question can be boiled down to this: is the problem Jesus, or is the problem the people? Who is the problem here that we're getting this kind of response to the ministry? Why so much opposition? Why so many varied responses? There's no doubt that in a church of 500 people this morning, there will be varied responses to this sermon. How do we process that? And it's really no different because the New Testament writers come along and they make the very strong case that when the gospel's being preached and when preaching is going on, Jesus is preaching. It's amazing that Paul could say this to churches he never visited. Jesus came and preached to you. That was through his servants. So we don't think about that, but Jesus is preaching to you right now. And Mark now, in this context, presents to us so strategically, the parable of the sower. One of my favorite parables, always to this day, every time I look at it, still somewhat an enigma. There's always something new I'm learning from the parable of the sower. And its main point is to say all understanding of the word being sown, all understanding of sermons, all understanding of his preaching that translates and becomes belief in the heart is a gift of grace. And you're going to understand how much you need that by the time this is done. But he wants to make something really clear here. The problem is not Jesus. The problem is not Jesus. The real problem is not the ministry of the word. The real problem is the soil of the human heart. The soil of the human heart. That's not to say there can't be bad preaching. There is certainly bad preaching that goes on. I've done certainly my share. But that's not where we start. That's not where we start. Jesus is saying first things first. And he's illustrating this very thing as he goes now and begins to speak this parable to the masses and then explains to the disciples why there are so many varied responses. That challenges us today. It should have the effect of not making us judge the message or the messenger firsthand or first, but to first judge the soil of our own hearts as we have come today to hear the word. And we can begin to even ask the question, what have you done to even prepare that soil for the word? So that we should be coming to hear the word with a kind of humble and receiving heart of the word. For Jesus says, when by his grace, undoubtedly, no denying that, by his grace, it has the kind of effect in the human heart that is lasting. Lasting. And I'm hoping by the end of this sermon to really impress upon you why it's so important and the lasting effect that you should be pursuing. As we come to chapter 4, again we read that he began to teach by the sea. He is back in his little pulpit. I love to call it his little pulpit. It's a boat. He's out in the ocean. That's the sea there. And he's standing and sitting in this boat, and great multitudes again have gathered to listen to his sermons. Now keep in mind, this is again comes strategically right after these responses. He's on this wooden boat. These masses of crowds have come, probably thousands, if not tens of thousands. I mean, this is when Mark emphasized last time, great multitude, great multitude. He is telling us his preaching drew them in. And at this point, he does something really confusing. At least as I've read it and studied it, I've pondered this, and I thought, this is really confusing. If you're sitting there that day, he just begins to tell this parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow in a field, and he's sowing for his crops. Some, he says, landed on the path. They were devoured up by the birds. Some on these stony places. The sun came and scorched it. It withered away. Some among the thorns, and the thorns choked out the life of the plant so that it bore no fruit. And then there were those who bore a lot of fruit, good soil. Jesus is obviously emphasizing and illustrating something very powerful here. He's doing something very, just in the whole presentation of how this is being done, proves the very point of the parable. You have to understand that. He's doing what the parable illustrates. As you see, he's in the boat, and he bellows out really loud before he speaks. Did you catch that there in verse 3. In your translation, you'll see an exclamation point. Listen! Listen! What an interesting way to start this, isn't it? Listen. Pay attention. Understand what I'm about to tell you is of immense importance. Listen to it. And then he tells this parable of the sower. And he ends it. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we find that he's alone. He dismissed them, Matthew even said. He gets off the boat. He leaves the multitudes. And now he's alone with his disciples. Now everyone should be stopping and saying, wait a minute. You just told them to listen and you didn't explain it. That's a very strange thing to do. Why didn't you explain it, Jesus? Clearly, he calls parables the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And yet, he's not explaining this one to them. In fact, this particular parable was so important, Jesus said, if you don't get this one, you'll never understand any parable. So they heard it, but it didn't move to understanding, did it? Now, anyone who really cares to understand is going to have a question. Do any of the Gospels present the multitudes coming back to Jesus and asking, listen, Jesus, you told this parable, but I don't get it. I want to understand it. I really want to understand this parable. Would you please explain this parable to us? Well, yes, we get a few. And I caught something in this particular version as Mark has presented it that I haven't caught elsewhere. Not only did the disciples come back and ask this question, but did you notice there that it said that the people who were with them, a group did come back. I don't know how many, it doesn't tell us. It just says there was a group that came back and with the disciples, they wanted to understand this. It bothered them. He said, listen, and they didn't get it. And I think to myself, well, what a beautiful desire that's immediately presented here. We'll come back to that toward the end of the sermon. But Jesus wanted us to understand, for generations to read this and his people to understand, as his disciples, he made this clear to them, what he had just said. And so Jesus essentially says in summary form, before we launch into this, he says this, you need to understand, dear friends, dear disciples, there is a problem with the human heart. Look at all these responses that we've been seeing in the ministry. People running around saying, I'm a crazy man. People going so far as to say, I have a demon, committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You need to know, for those on the outside who have those kind of hearts, hardened hearts, I'm responding to that. I'm responding to that. They may hear me, but that does not mean that they will understand me. This is a privilege of grace that I have done for you. I have spoken, and now I'm going to translate it for you, and now I'm going to move it to understanding so that you really listen and understand it. I'm going to explain it for you. And so here we see that the parable itself and the arrangement of this scenario illustrates the very truth of the parable. You could hear, but you could not listen. Seems like a famous 60s song, doesn't it? People hearing without listening. And that's not Jesus' fault. People just heard a powerful story from Jesus. What did they understand by it? Did they understand it? Who came back? And the greatest blessing of grace is his gift when hearing becomes listening and that becomes understanding in the heart. Jesus confirms that and says, right in the midst of this, when he looks at these people who came back and he looks at that and he says, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not been given, so that I have the right to exercise the judgment of Isaiah, hearing they may hear and not hear, and seeing they may see and not perceive, lest they should come and be forgiven. I do have that right. Look at how they're responding to the ministry. Well, it's at this point, it's as if Jesus says, so let me explain to you how blessed you are to hear and understand. Let me explain this to you. Do you not understand this parable? He says. Do you not? To which we all should say, no one could unless it were explained. How then will you understand all parables? I'm speaking in mysteries here. Let me explain to you what's happening in the kingdom. I need you to understand this, dear disciples, as you go out and you take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You need to understand this. You need to understand this very well. What we find is that this parable is an earthly picture of the preaching of the gospel. Christ himself is the preacher par excellence. Christ himself is the sower. And he is out preaching the gospel of the kingdom as he has come to do the will of his Father. He wanted to preach. Mark has told us that from day one. He was out preaching. For this reason, I came forth to preach. And as he's casting that seed everywhere, he was speaking the very word of God to them. But why were people rejecting? Why were people saying these terrible things about him? Jesus says, you need to understand what we're running up against because you're soon going to face this. There are all sorts of responses in the kingdom to my word as it goes out. My word is sharper than any two-edged sword. My word cuts deep. My word enters in. It never returns void. You don't need to think that as we are scattering the seed, this seems like an incredible waste to you. It cuts. Isaiah 55, and you know, it will accomplish what God wants for it. But the soils, you see, represent the human heart. So he begins with the first soil. The first soil and the first heart, he says, when I sow the word and it lands along the path where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in them. Here I think you can see right in this response of the multitudes right in front of them what he had just said. Jesus told a great story saying, listen, when someone begins with that, listen, and this is the Son of God, he's saying, I've got something really important to say. If you hear something and you don't understand something, that speaker says, this is a matter of life and death that I'm speaking to you, what do you do? Well, you're going to be very persistent to go understand it. They all just walked off. Now, people came back to him. Would you explain this? Jesus says, there is a kind of hearer in the kingdom whose heart is like a hard surface. That heart is like a hard surface. It's a really calloused heart. And keep in mind, we're talking about people who listen to the word of God. And Jesus is illustrating something the disciples need to understand. The crowds loved Jesus' stories. They probably said, man, he is the best. He is so interesting. He's good with the kids. He invites them forward. Welcomes the children, talks to the children. Great storyteller. We can almost imagine what people were saying about him. You know, we really like these amazing stories. He is a gripping story. Boy, he's got a great sounding voice. Holds our attention. Look at these powerful things he can do. Sermons packed out. You're going to judge by number. He's one. We like the drama of all this. He's healing. It's a lot of attention here. That's one pastor said. I think he's right. We really don't like his application. He's telling us to repent. He's really combative in confronting our lives. It's a little too personal at that point. He's told us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Are you kidding me? And now he's thrown the law at us. He's thrown the law and the books at Israel. How dare him make the covenant people condemned? All over the Old Testament, this was described. In fact, I believe this is a direct fulfillment of Ezekiel 33. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another and to his brother, let's go get brother. Come, hear the word that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as a people come. They sit before you as my people. They hear what you say, but they will not do it. Behold, you are like to them, one who sings songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they don't do what you say. Everyone loves to hear an instrument play. I'm sure some would have loved to have had a great instrument play today. What did that profit you if you don't understand? We can imagine the sermon critiques going on in the kingdom. They would come up. They would listen. They could say good sermon. They could say bad sermon. It really didn't matter because they never really listened to it. Isn't that something? They never took it home to the heart.
Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.